That's all right. I got to turn around and look at the picture, right? So I got to see the picture. So thank you for inviting me here. I'm very happy you did that. And I enjoyed myself very much today to be with see you all again and be with you. So tonight, I'll bring before you my, it was my seventh time to Kenya. God willing, they want me back every year. They insisted, you got to come back every year, wait, please, for a month. So the plane ticket's already bought. October 2nd, God willing, I'll be going back again, and November 4th, I'll fly out to him back home to Canada. It's to the prisons, mainly the prisons we go. For some reason, I don't know why, there's 153 prisons in Kenya. It's a third world country. We were able to go to 27 prisons, just crisscrossing. The support that I go, an email sent out, I do believe Charlottetown, as I mentioned this morning, you're so faithful to me and my wife, and I'm very grateful. You're behind us in this, because it's, there's a cost, right? There's a cost. Of course there is. There's a cost. I stay in homes with poor people. They don't have any running water. We drink rainwater, stuff. No, they, even people that work at minimum wage, which isn't very much money at all, they're poor. The country's a poor country. Poverty reigns in Kenya. That's all you see. You don't see poverty really over here. You have the government and so on. No social assistance over there. And they're poor. And that because they're poor, they're receptive to the gospel. The Lord Jesus said, how many times, I'm not sure, preach the gospel to the poor. You want to have souls listen to you and see their need of Christ as the poor people. So they love the gospel there. Most people will receive the gospel. If I'm talking to a cashier in a supermarket, she stands there and listens to me, to everything I say, London, focused on me, not the other customers. And they thank me so much for the gospel tract. They say, thank you, they're appreciative of that. So I love Kenya. Not Kenya, the Kenyan people. You know, I called my wife after week one, and I talked to her a little bit, and she said, it sounds to me like you love Kenya. You want to move there? I said, no, I'm not going to move here. I can't move without you, my dear. I'm not going to move there without you. I said, but it's not Kenya I love. It's the Kenyan people that I love, and I do. Can't help myself, so I do. So I'm just going to read. I'll read before I start. It's when Paul and Barnabas were they were commanded, and what I'm doing now is very scriptural, just to go over what happened there, what the Lord did. So they, in Acts 14, they go back to Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, and they give a report of what they were doing. And it says in verse 25 of Acts 14, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they were commanded to the grace of God for the work which the Lord fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So all that I say tonight, to God be the glory, is what God did, not what I did. I did nothing. I did nothing except what I had to do. He said, Wade, you preach. I've got no choice. Woe is unto me. Just like Paul said, if I preach not. So all the glory be to God. You're going to see what he did there. He did great things in Kenya. I left Fredericton, New Brunswick. I flew out to Montreal on the 17th of September. I hadn't been there since 2018 because of COVID. I couldn't go. They shut down, whatever. So I've been praying ever since then. I was praying all the time. That Lord, I said, Lord, you know where we're going. You know the prison we're going to, and you know the prisoners who are going to be there. I'm praying that right now about the prisons we're going in this fall, God willing. and they need to be convicted of their sins. Nobody will be saved, nobody, unless they're convicted about their sins and see themselves in the light of God's Word and how He sees them, or there'll be no salvation. So, Lord, prepare their hearts, Lord. And they were prepared, as you'll see. They were prepared and came to Christ. So I flew to Montreal, and from Montreal, then I went to Amsterdam, I guess, and then you go to Kenya. Long flights. It's a big, across the Atlantic Ocean, nighttime, 13 hours or something, and 8 hours. But anyway, I arrived there. But in Montreal, something happened there, which I was asked a question by the flight. They're going to get on this flight, KLM, whatever that is. And so I'm standing in line with everybody. I'm going to get my boarding pass. And she says to me, "Where's your visa?" And nobody ever asked me that question before. I said, "My visa?" I said, "Well, I buy my visa at the airport in Nairobi," which I did. I've been there 6 times before. I told her that. And this is my 7th time. And I buy, there's a little booth there. I can see it in the airport, little small airport, Nairobi. And visas. So you buy a visa. And you give them the dates you're going to be there. If you want to go into a different country, which I did sometimes, into Uganda or whatever. And you get dates and so on. So I have my visa. But she's asking me now, "Where's your visa?" I said, "I don't have a visa." I told her why. I said, "I buy when I get there." And she looked at me strangely. I didn't know things had changed. And, "Well, just a moment, sir." She goes, "I'm going to talk to my supervisor." So I said, "All right." So I'm standing there waiting. She goes to talk to her supervisor. I could see her talking to this woman in a different uniform. And she came back with kind of a puzzled look on her face, and she went to the computer. And I said, "Well, am I getting on the plane?" She said to me, "You know, I don't know why you are, but you are. We're not supposed to let you on the plane without a visa." I said, "Why? So how about that?" So I said, "I got the 2 suitcases. So I put one on to get weighed." She said, "We're only allowed 1 suitcase. So there's a fee for your second one." And then she said, "We'll waive that fee." So I could see right away what God was doing. He was showing me, "Wait. In Genesis 24, the unnamed servant, he's the Holy Spirit, and he's going to get, it's Rebekah for Isaac, the bride, wilt thou go with this man," he's unnamed. And when he realized God answered his prayer, he said, "I being in the way the Lord led me, and God knows me, and I have to be able to say that, I have to be able in my heart to say that, I being in the way the Lord led me." That's not me. I didn't arrange to come here. Not me. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe he's showing me that. So I get to Nairobi, and I walk in there. I'm standing with all the other people and the girl in the booth, and she says to me, "Where's your visa?" I said, "Why, my visa? I said, I buy my visa here in the airport. I always have. 6 years I buy my visa here." And she looked at me strangely again with this look, like, you can't come into this country with a visa. So she went away to talk to somebody. Then she came back, and she looked at this and that, and then she stood my passport over, and I looked at her, and I said, "Can I go?" "She, you can go." I said, "I can go. Thank you very much." So I get out of there as quick as I can, because I got no visa. But the Lord's showing me. I'm going to bring this up again later. God showed me. I tell you, He showed me. "Wade, you can be confident. I sent you here. I being in the way the Lord led me." That's the only place I want to be anyway, is where He led me. So, now this is Nairobi. Few here have been to Nairobi. It's a crazy city. It's not crazy. Yeah, driving there, I don't know why pedestrians aren't killed every day, but anyway, they don't slow down. They come this close to their legs. They step out, you're gone. But they don't get killed. Nobody dies. I don't know what's going on over there, but so many people. I think there's 4.5 million people that live in that city. I labor with 2 brethren over there. They're commended like I am commended. They're evangelists. They're also conference speakers and so on. They work hard. Samuel Ndungu and Evans Amonde is their names. And they're poor. They over there, nobody support. They don't get much support. But anyway, They say, forget about that. God looks after my needs, and he does. And so they're both evangelists. So I stay with Samuel in Nairobi. We go to prisons there in central Kenya, around Nairobi we go. And then I leave there. I go to Western Kenya. I work with Evans and his wife. His wife, Sabina, is Samuel's wife. She comes with us. You'll see their pictures. We go along. She takes the pictures for me, which I appreciate. And Evans' wife's name is Jen, and she takes the pictures for me. And I'm grateful for that. And they turned out all right. So the first thing we did, we went into the Nairobi to buy Bibles. There are expenses for this. You know, the gas, just all over we go, and all over with the gas. And eating in restaurants. And then they call them hotels, so-called hotels. Like, they're kind of funny. But anyway, as long as no bed bugs, cockroaches, too many, at least not too many cockroaches in the bed. They're hotels, yes. But we eat restaurants, and that's money. That's money. I stay in their homes. They want to treat me right. They give me food. So I groceries, gas, and then the Bibles. We have to buy the Bibles. So I'm grateful to the Christians who support, and the assemblies who support this work. And they send the fellowship to Bethany Gospel Chapel in Worcester, Massachusetts. And they're the ones behind this, behind me. They're so gospel-minded down there. They love the gospel. And they said, Wade, you're the last of the evangelists. You're the last of the evangelists. Where are they, Annie? Where are they? We don't see them. No. So they're behind me 100%. And so we bought the Bibles. And English and Swahili, and they have their choice. English is a language of Kenya, national language. They speak English. They understand me when I talk to them. I learned how to preach the gospel in Swahili initially when I meet somebody. I walk into a store, I start talking to the cashier, and I talk in Swahili to them. I say, you know what? God loves you so very much. He died for your sins on the cross. You know, and I give them this, and they're quite amazed. I'm a Mzungu. A white man in Kenya is a Mzungu. Children see me and they point in the car. Not very many Mzungus in Kenya. And these people are saying, wow, he's talking to me in Swahili about Christ. I can't really preach it. I can't speak it. But anyway, that's why I have Samuel with me and Evans. And they're on one side of the speaker. We have big, long cords. I don't trust those cordless mics. Sometimes they cut out. You're in the middle of a sentence and they cut out. That's no good in the gospel. They got to hit the whole thing. So we have cords. And I preach in English. He's not translating, he's preaching. He's preaching. That's a double-barreled gospel they get. English, Swahili. English, Swahili. And I know how long I can talk. Then he preaches, I preach. He doesn't know a word. It's funny, they give me a look. Like, I don't get a word for that. And I know the look. And right, God is so good. He right away gives me the word. Another different word for that. You know, and so we work well together. English, Swahili. They speak Swahili in their homes and in the streets and growing up and so on. But the national language is English. So, all right, then this is Nairobi. Next picture. They're poor. Everywhere you go, you see poverty. Poverty. I've seen things I wish I never saw, actually, you know. But it's all right. I go in the grocery store to buy all the groceries. I buy big bags of suckers, you know. And I pass them out to the kids. They've never had maybe a candy in their life, you know. And so these ones here, they got their suckers. They're just rejoicing they got a sucker. How about that? A lot of them, I found it kind of sad to see. They're licking the wrapper. I didn't even know what it was. They're licking the wrapper. I say, hey, there's something better under the wrapper for you, sweet candy. So there they are, a few children. That's in Nairobi. Next picture. That's his home assembly of Samuel. The little children, close up, next picture. And you can see how happy they are. And those children over in Kenya don't have anything. You don't see any bicycles over there. No, you don't see any bicycles. You don't see toys and trucks and stuff like that. They don't have anything over there. But they're happy. They're happy kids, right? Children. They get along. A lot of soccer balls are very good in football. Oh, yes, very good. Next picture. Electricity Well, you have it or you don't have it. It's on or it's off, you know, and it could be off for a few hours. It could be off for a few days. It might be off all week long. You don't have any power. That's the way it is in Kenya. You just have to live with that. So I bought these flashlights, and I gave them to my brethren to share with them. The power was out that night in my room, so that's where I'm doing my studying with my lamps. Next picture. They're getting their Bibles. They don't have their prison uniforms on yet. They're called remandees. Remandees are men and women who have broken the law. They've been charged, and the trial date is set. No, the trial date is not set. It's going to be set. In the meantime, they send them to prison. In there with the prisoners, the inmates, right? And that's why they haven't got their uniforms. Most of them responded to the gospel. They haven't yet begun that life of being in prison. My life is prison. It's not yet. And those who profess faith in Christ, who came to Him, we gave them the Bible. And they could pick Swahili if they want, or English, whatever you want to do. So that's what's happening right there. And we take them aside. So they're all together. They're all usually sitting down. And those who profess faith in Christ they're separated from the others. The others are set back. You go back where you came from. You didn't want Christ today, then you go back where you came from. So now we have them all to ourselves now, those who are professed to be saved. And so we give them their Bibles. And that's what I'm doing there. That's the first prison. There were 60 of those men. 60 came to Christ. Next picture. Those are the officers in charge, like wardens over here. They have one for the men, one for the women. Some prisons have men and then the women over here. Then there are prisons that are solely men, and then prisons that are just for women over there. As I said, I don't know why there are so many. I don't know why, but anyway, they certainly need the gospel. And they love having their pictures taken, the officers in charge. So anyway, we always took their pictures. And they all said to me, "You got to come back. You got to come back again. Come back again." And I'm a Mzungu, and Mzungus don't go in prisons over there. So they're like, "Why are we being blessed today? Why is this Mzungu from Canada coming here? He's paying attention to us." And so we go in to see the warden when we first get there. When we're done, we go to the warden's office and we sign his book, and they give us a Coke, cold Coke, and maybe a cookie. It's just like 2018, Samuel said to me, "Wait, you know something? When we go to the prisons, it doesn't happen to us. We don't go to the warden's office. The warden comes here, the gospel as well, and the guards." He said, "That's because you're here. They sort of treat me like a celebrity. I'm a white man. And what are you doing in the prison here anyway?" So that kind of added, I think, to the gospel that I was preaching to them. Because why am I here in the first place? Well, they soon found out why I'm here. When I began to preach to them that God loves you. God loves you. Yes, He does. And they began to, they realize, as I'm speaking, they can sense this. That God does love them. And they were ready. They were ready to repent of their sins, which is the requirement. Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish, right? We all know that. That's the problem with people. They don't want to let go, right? They don't want to let go. The life they have. These men are no different. These men are no different. A little girl had a vase in her hand. And their father looked over and said, "My dear, that was a vase that was passed down from generation to generation. Get your hand out of there, put the vase down very carefully now." And she said, "Daddy, I can't." He said, you put your hand in there, take it out." And she was right. He couldn't get her hand out of the vase. He had to break the vase. It'd break your mother's heart. He said, "Would you try one more time? Your heart is for Daddy to let go of that vase." And she said, "Well, Daddy, if I do, I have to let go of the penny." He said, "What penny?" "I found a penny in the bottom of the vase." had a fist. That's why she couldn't get her hand out, holding on to the penny. He said, honey, listen to me. You let go of that penny, take your hand out of the vase, and Daddy will give you 100 pennies. He said, you will? He said, yes, I will. She trusted him, believed him, took her hand out. She got 100 pennies. People are holding on to pennies today. They're just holding on to a penny. It's all they have, the riches in Christ. And that's why so many will not come. They will not come and surrender their lives to Christ. Well, this time, God blessed many, many. You'll see as we go along here. They were ready to let go of that penny. What do you have anyway? What do you have? Look where you are. What do you have anyway here? So, next picture. As an evangelist, you can imagine how I felt now, standing in front of that many men and their unbelievers. I was told this morning, and it's wonderful you have many, you many come here from Charlottetown, unbelievers in here to hear the gospel. How about that? Unbelievers, man, that is an evangelist paradise. It is for me, a paradise, is Kenya. Especially the prisons that I'm preaching to all these men. And they're listening. Everyone's listening to me. Samuel said he never saw the like before. When I start speaking, everybody, they're all listening to me. Some can't even see me, trying to see me. There's so many of them there, lifting up their heads to see me. And they're all listening to me. Samuel said he knew something's happening here, Wade. Something's happening here. God's speaking. God is speaking. And these men are listening to you. They want to hear what you got to say next. I can tell by their countenances. And God blessed, I'm telling you, he blessed over there. I had my Bible. You'll see in these pictures, my Bible's hanging limp at my side. I had a message. I always have a message. I had a 3-point message for the prisoners. I never preached it once. Not once, no. God just gave me things to say. He gave me words to say to them, just what they needed to hear. And I challenged them. I challenged these men. I move around with that microphone, like long cord, and I get close to them and look in their countenances, and love consumed me. Love consumed me, just love for them. And the gospel consumed me. And I could see in their countenances, what have you got to say to me? What good news you got for me? What has God got to say to me? And I gave it to them. I gave it to them, and they listened to me. And you'll see how many came to Christ. So that to me, just standing there looking at that, what is that all about for an evangelist? Hey, that's heaven on earth right there for me. Next picture. Mwingi, main prison. That's Samuel over there on the right, and there's Sabina beside me. They like these people, the officers in charge, like the other picture taken. So we're there. In the prison before that, there were 150 men came to Christ in the first meeting, Yatta was called. And there were 300 men, 300, that was a picture we saw, 300 of those, 200 men came to Christ. And when I say come to Christ, I'll explain that a little bit later what I mean. They truly came to Christ, and they knew what they were doing. God really blessed. He really blessed. We're in Mwingi. Mwingi is about 5 miles from Somalia. And Somalia is, if you know anything about Somalia, there are crazy people up there. Militant Islamic fundamentalist groups, they're militant. And they come over. They come over into Kenya with their AK-47s, and they stop buses. Everybody off the bus. And you quote a verse in the Quran, you're looking back in the bus. You can't, bang, bang, in your head, you're dead. And they do it often. They go to churches over there. They know what Christianity is. They find churches where Christians, and they come in the back door during prayer meeting with their AK-47s, and they mow them down. They just mow them down. I visited widows over there more than once, whose husbands died in their arms, whose daughters died in their arms because of bullets. So we're 5 miles from there. And so we left this prison. There was only 26 saved. What things weren't right in that prison? Samuel told me there's something not right here. These prisoners, they can get up and walk around. They leave and come back and sit down. They weren't listening. No control. Most chaplains are really good. They're born again, saved, and they know what they're doing. But this place wasn't like that. So anyway, we're driving along, and Samuel said, there's something going on up ahead. Traffic stopped, and what had happened is the Al-Qaeda came over, and they did something. And they had the bus pulled over, everybody off the bus, checking suitcases. One guy's on top of a vehicle with a cow. He's looking through the cows for people with their guns. I don't know what they did. Now they see a Mzungu. They're special military. They're highly trained military over there that on the work up there near Somalia. And they lay their lives on the line there. I'm telling you, they are very violent. And they kill. And these are highly trained soldiers. And they're the ones that are up there and risking their lives for the Kenyan people. And they were the ones doing this. And every vehicle's pulled over. Now they see a Mzungu. Say, what's the Mzungu doing here? Not many Mzungus. And this has happened. And Samuel said, wait, they're looking at you like they suspect you. I said, well, we'll see what happens anyway. So I know Samuel and Sabina, when they got out of the vehicle, they went off away from me, left me alone. And the two chief ones in charge, a woman and a man, like under the generals or whatever, in charge of that operation, the soldiers, all the soldiers were there. And they didn't have AK-47s. They had big, big machine guns. And she came over to me, and she said, out of the vehicle, sir. So I thought to myself, well, she'll probably want to see my passport. So I leaned over, and I'm looking for my passport. You know what? Over here in the USA, I think Springsteen had a song about it, you know. Make sure they see both hands at all times. And, man, she didn't like that. Like, what's he doing? What's he leaning over for? And she hollered at me. She said, you get down from that vehicle now. And points a gun in my face. So, okay. So I had my passport, so I got out. And then I went in my pocket. And I said, there's something for you to read, ma'am. I want you to read that. It speaks of God and Christ's love for you. And you, sir, you read that, please. It's God's love for you. He died for your sins. And you need him to go to heaven. Hey. Samuel said to me, that went a long way. They could see that I had no fear. I had no fear. None at all. It went a long way, he said, wait. So I said, where's your visa? See, the visa. I said, well, I don't really have a visa. Now they're suspicious of me. Then what are you doing here? What are you doing here in this country without a visa? Here. And the Al-Qaeda came over and they did something. People died. So I said, well, in the airport, I'm thinking to myself, maybe in the airport she gave me the piece of paper. It was always a piece of paper I got. I said, maybe she did that. Can I go look at my Bible bag? And it was in the back of the vehicle. So they said, all right. Then they're watching me, I tell you. And I'm going through my Bible bag trying to find a piece of paper. And Samuel calls me. He says, wait. I turn around. He's with them. He said, come here. So I walked over to him. And she's holding my passport out in her hand. He said, wait, there was a date on it. And he said, where was that stamped? I looked at the date, and it said September 20th. I said, that must have been stamped in the airport. That was my visa. I didn't even know that was my visa. She didn't tell me it was my visa. Well, she said, here's your passport. She can give it back to me. That was my visa. I had a visa. Hi. Now they're happy. Now they're happy with me. Okay, now you're in the country. We told them I came from the prison in Mawingi. I'm a preacher. And so all is well, we can go. And then he said, man of God, will you pray for us? As he couldn't believe his ears. I said, yes, I'll pray for you. I look, and all the soldiers, they're taking their hats off. They stopped. The whole operation stopped. And they bowed their heads. Well, I prayed for them. Samuel said he never saw that, the like of that before, ever did he see that. And he shakes my hand, thanked me, and away I go. So, the visa, yeah? God showed me, yes, wait, I led you here, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless these meetings, right? So I could say now, I being in the way, the Lord led me for sure, all through that the visa. Now I know, in October that I'm coming this October, I'm going to get a visa. I'll apply for it and I'll get it, and everything will be okay. I asked Samuel, I said that night, I said, what would happen if I didn't have a visa? He said, well, you wouldn't be sitting in my living room. You'd be in a jail right now. Yeah, like the remandees maybe. Waiting to see a judge, and you send you back to Canada. You entered illegally. So, next picture. There's Evans. Evans is he's a gospel preacher. He's in Western Kenya, so I travel on a bus, about a 12-hour bus ride over to his home, he and Jen. Next picture. We're on our way. See the kid in the back? They really funny. The kids, they steal rides over there. You'll see them holding on on a skateboard, and they're holding on to the back of the van. They're traveling. I can't believe these kids. They're fearless, and they're traveling, I don't know how, 60, maybe 50 miles an hour. Anyway, next picture. Next picture. Okay, that's the first prison. There were 70 men came to Christ. Next picture. We're praying with them. Next picture. I can't help myself when I'm there. I just can't. And they say, who is this? Who is this Mzungu anyway? Hey, what are you doing? I'm hugging them. I'm holding them. And I'm so happy. I'm very happy for them because now they have new lives. You're set free. You're still in prison, but you're free, and they know they're free. Next picture. That's before. That's the before picture. You saw the after. That's before. These men, they've lost everything. You know, they've lost their jobs. They've lost their wives. They've lost their children. They lost their family, their friends, their home. They've lost everything. They have nothing. Nothing. The only hope they have is I get out someday. When am I going to get out of here? That's the only hope they have. And they're not happy before they're saved. You'll see how happy they are, hey, with they're holding their Bibles. They sleep on cardboard boxes, flattened out cardboard boxes. That's their bed. You sleep on that. That's all they have. They have two meals. I wash them two meals a day. That's all. And I wash them standing there in line, getting their, with it, I don't know what it is, rice and something, and a hunk of bread, and they can eat that in 5 minutes, and it's all done, twice a day. And they don't give them any soap. We can't afford to give you soap. 153 prisons over there, no soap, and no toilet paper. Even the women, sorry, no toilet paper for you. I've been in their bathrooms. You have the guards, and where they have their toilets and so their bathrooms. Even box of Kleenex, for goodness sake, but no toilet paper for you. They don't have anything. So that's before they're saved. That's the look, all right? But man, oh man, they knew, and God was speaking. I didn't even have to lift my Bible up. Didn't have to. Never looked at a verse. God just spoke through me. He spoke through me. As soon as I began, love consumed me. And the gospel consumed me, and these men consumed me. I looked at their faces, their countenances. Samuel said, wait, I turned 75 last Monday. Wade said, when you grab that microphone, you turn into a 35-year-old man. He said, you do. Who is this man? Who is this man? It's not Wade LeBlanc. Yes, it is Wade LeBlanc, because I'm preaching the gospel. Yeah, the best message under the sun is this message of salvation. So I'll tell you right now, there were over 2,500 saved. 2,500. In my lifetime, how? What's going on? What's going on, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? And the 2,520 men, and I mean 25% of those were women, and they came to Christ. They surrender their lives to Christ. We know how many because we separate them. The chaplains, they get their names. They send prisoners in who are saved with a piece of paper and a pen, and they get their names of all those who were born again, and they all get a Bible. And the names they can now apply to. They can enroll in Emmaus Bible course in Nairobi, And now they can, and they're free for them. So that's how I know how many of these men came to Christ. And when I say come to Christ, I told them plainly, the reason you're not saved is because you've never let go of the penny. You've never let go of whatever you got down here. It's only happiness. If things are going well in your life, you're happy. If things go bad in your life, you're unhappy. I said, God has joy for you. He's got joy for you. Every morning you wake up with His joy in your heart. Every morning, and they're listening to me. I can tell they're listening to me. God's speaking right to their hearts. Not my voice they're hearing. That was my prayer. God, you speak, Lord. And He spoke to them, and they're listening to me. I said, but you got to let go. You have to repent, change your mind. You'll perish. God now commandeth you, all men everywhere. You've been doing your own will. Not your will, but my will be done. I said, look what doing your will, look what it's done for you. Look where you are. I said, look where you are. You're in prison. Doing your will. What's it done for you in your life? Are you ready to halt? Are you ready to halt now? Are you ready to halt? And I knew they were. I knew it. My heart, I knew it. They were ready to halt and give their lives to Christ. Give them their whole self to Christ, all of it. I surrender, Lord. I surrender to you, Lord. I'm yours now. I want to live for you now. I know my sins are forgiven because you died for me. And they came. They came. They're all sitting. I said, by your very posture, you stand. If you're ready right now to receive Christ, right now, if God spoke to your heart, and don't be thinking He'll speak to you again. Will He ever speak to you again? I know He's speaking to you right now. He's speaking to you. He's calling you. Then you come now. You come now. You stand now. Stand up now, right now, and show God, I want you. I want you, Lord. I'm ready. I'm yours. And they just stood up all over the place. All over the place. They're standing up. All over the place. They're standing up. And they meant business. They knew what they were doing. They were turning with all their heart, 180 degrees. My way to your way, Lord. Samuel said he never ever saw anything like that in his life before. I never did either. God just spoke in a mighty, mighty way. So, next picture. Yeah, we're praying with them, man. Next picture. I always get in amongst them. I can't help myself. I get amongst them and I show them. God loves you and I love you now too. You're my brother in Christ. Next picture. They're pretty happy guys. Yeah, they're pretty happy. So am I. I'm pretty happy too. Next picture. These are women. Picture 21. What time? Sorry, what time? I can't make that clock out. What time is it? What time does it end? What? No. What time am I supposed to end?
It's supposed to be 7:30, Wade, but we're engaged.
7:30? And that's 5 minutes? I got 5 minutes. I'm sorry. Jai, I prayed, Lord, don't let me do that. Okay, I'll quickly go. All right. Women over here. Oh, there were 117 women. And how many women came to Christ? 117 women. They all stood up. Yeah, they wanted the Savior. They did. And the woman beside me, officer in charge, she came to Christ as well. Help me pass out the Bible. She is there. So next picture. There they are, happy. Next picture. 23. Homa Bay. 125 men came to Christ. Next picture. They came up for their Bibles and were praying. Next picture. Okay, next picture. Okay, next picture. Pretty happy guys, right? Next picture. This was different, this place right here. Some chaplains are good chaplains. Some chaplains are not. This chaplain was not. He told them they were saved. I could tell by the way they were dancing around. They play music first, you know, and the prisoners are all standing on their feet, and they're dancing, and they're singing choruses, gospel choruses, and Jesus, your will be done. I mean, all this, you know, like, and they think they're saved, and he's telling them they're saved. I know he is, and they're looking at. I can tell by their countenance looking at me. They're not saved. I knew in my heart they weren't saved. But they want to be saved. Their counselors were like, if you got a message from me, I knew it. So I preach. You ready to stand? You ready to stand now? And 50 stood up on their feet. The chaplain runs over. He goes, sit. Like, you're already saved. Sit. I said, no, you sit. And he humbly went and sat down. Yeah. Salvation is the most important thing. You got to be sure. As an evangelist, I got to be sure. And they were now sure of heaven. So the Lord blessed. And 50 of them came to Christ. Next picture. That's Victoria Bay, or Victoria, Lake Victoria. Yeah, made David Livingston. Next picture. Lake Victoria, source of the Nile. Next picture. That's the school. Seventh-day Adventist school. I didn't know that when we first went there. Seventh-day Adventist school. There were 300 of these students, and they're all, I can hear them singing gospel choruses, and we're going to preach there. And with the principal and so on, the head guy who teaches, the woman who teaches them. And so we go over to them, and I know what they believe. I talked to a guy in the street that afternoon, and we were on our way there. His name was Andrew. I said, Andrew, I gave him this tract here, and I said, you know the Savior? I know the Savior. Are you sure of heaven, Andrew? He said, well, I'm not, how can I be sure of heaven? You have to repent every day, you know. I said, what do you mean by that now? Well, we sin every day, so we can't be sure of heaven because we sin every day. So I repent every day and confess to him. I explained to him the one-time repentance. One time, it's one-time repentance toward God. And then faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached in Luke 24, repentance. In my name you preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. First repentance. I explained to him. I could see that God opened his eyes of understanding. He's so joyful now. He's a Seventh-day Adventist. So he went over to Samuel in the window. He's so happy, happy. He understands now. He can be saved, sure of heaven. Here they are. So I know what they believe already. So I'm preaching the gospel to them plainly. And I knew they weren't saved. And anybody who's not saved, they know they're not saved. And when they heard this gospel, they were ready. And 240 of these young people came to Christ out of the 300. Next picture. I'm in the middle of them there. And anyway, next picture. We'll go back that picture. Yeah, there. Okay, when I was done, the woman who teaches them, I know what she teaches them, and so I gave her the microphone. She says, she went, well, she said, we all have to repent from time to time. I said, can I have the microphone back, please? Boop. I said, one time repentance. You surrender your life, right? You surrendered your life to him. Yours, I'm Lord, I'm yours. Fellowship, let fellowship, yes, we confess our sin for fellowship, but relationship's eternal. It will never change. You can be sure of heaven. I said, thank you, ma'am. So, next picture. That's Jen, that's what they cook on. It's a gas thing. Next picture. Okay, 34. AD came to Christ. 80. There were only 100 men there. Next spot, next picture. They come for their Bibles. Next picture. That's heaven's on the right there. And I was amazing, this one here. It was starting to rain out. And I can't preach in the rain. You're standing here in the rain. I'm in the rain. And I have my Bible and so on. And they said, preach anyway. So behind me, I saw this awning. So I stood behind the awning. And they all lined up to hear the gospel. And there were... How many came to Christ? 21. There were 25 men, 21 came to Christ. Next picture. It's not a football team. In Kenya, it's on the equator, but it's high above sea level. So when it gets cool at night, so when it gets down in the 70s, they're cold with their sweaters on. I can't believe that one, but there's 500 men there. And it's raining all around us. We could see the rain all around us. And they're all listening so well. God's speaking to them. And we're praying, Lord, please, don't let it rain. Don't let it rain. Hold off the rain, Lord. And he did. And 300 of those men who you see there, they all came to Christ, and they all came out, and they all walked over. The rest go back, and they got their Bibles. We got their names. Next picture. Oh, there they are. Next picture. The women can have their children up when they're 5 and under. They can have their children, which I suppose is a good thing. Next picture. 40. Getting near the end. Okay. The women here. We weren't supposed to see the women, but we stop, and we go in, and the chaplain was with us. We have good chaplains over there. He asked her. She asked him, "Well, you go preach to the women. Will you preach to the women?" We said, "Sure, we'll preach to the women." So there were 80 women there, and all 80 came to Christ. All 80 of them stood up, and they received Christ as their Savior. Next picture. Pretty happy now. Next picture. 42. My last day. That's my last day with the brother Evans here. I'm going to go back to Nairobi. Those are remandees. Next picture. And there were 300 remandees and 253. As I said, that's a paradise for me over there. 253 of them came to Christ. And there they are with their Bibles. You know, so marvelous what God did over there. Next picture. And where we are standing there with them. Next picture. Next picture. 46. That's the women. 80 women. 64 of these women came to Christ. Next picture. I'm standing with them there. Next picture. That's Thika, that's Nairobi. I'm back with Samuel again. That was a maximum security prison. Hard-hearted men. These were very hard-hearted men. And they were also told the same thing. A lot of men, they're all dancing and singing. And they were told that you're saved. And I knew they weren't saved. But their hearts were hard. And not many came. I think 10 women and 46 men. Next picture. We went to Mombasa, and in this prison right here, there were 243 men come to Christ. And next picture, and there they are, yeah, in their Bibles. Next picture, this is near the very end now, yep. And here, this was amazing, this one was, here's amazing, there's 343 prisoners were there. And I said, "Are you ready? Are you ready now? Is this your day? God calling you now?" And how many stood up? All of them. I walked around. I'm not sure. I couldn't believe it. I walked around to make sure, and they were all on their feet, and they all got their Bibles, and we got their names. So 343 of them. Next prison. 52. That's the last prison. Now, we're going to go to Kabara. Kabara is a slum. And a slum is not like the worst area of town. A slum, there's no electricity. There's no running water. Two taps running water. 2 million people in about 3 square miles, kilometers rather. There's nothing there, hardly any food. And there's no toilets there. Plastic bags. The smell overwhelms you. I was preaching there once, and there was a kid lying on his belly, and raw sewage is running down the gutter. And this boy, he's 5 years old, lies on his belly, and sticks a straw in that, and takes a drink, because he's so thirsty. So you see things that break your heart. But anyway, they told us we didn't want us to come. on Saturday afternoon because somebody died, and if you don't go to the funeral, you offend everybody. The five elders in that assembly in Kibara, I broke bread there twice, only two were left, and they were afraid because they're violent over there, then they kill. And Mzungus don't go in Kibara. They don't go. And they were afraid for our safety and their safety. I said, Samuel, the Lord's with us. I'm with you always. But we are not afraid. We're afraid to go there. Let's go. We want to go. So Samuel said, yeah, so you pray about it, and on tomorrow morning you tell me. I'll accept what you say. Next morning over breakfast, he said, wait, we prayed about it, Sabina and I, and we don't feel we should go. If they don't have any peace, we shouldn't go. I had no idea how heavy my heart was for them. I had no idea. And he told me that when my bedroom, I cried. I didn't know them on my bed, and I'm crying. I wanted to go preach the gospel to them. What do they have? What do they have? And I have Christ for them. And he heard me. So we went in his bedroom, and he talked to the... I could hear him on the phone. You, brethren, make sure. That's not good to come. So that afternoon, he called them, and they said, look, we don't have peace, all right? You might have no fear, but we have fear. So we didn't go. So in this last prison, he didn't tell me. The chaplain called him the night before and said, don't come, because I got to be somewhere else. And Samuel said, wait, I know how you feel about souls. I know. I couldn't tell you. So I just prayed to God, please, open the door, let us preach. So he didn't say a word to me. We went over, and we're sitting there. I'm looking around, like, where's the chaplain? Like, and the chaplain walks up to us. He says, Samuel, what are you doing here? And the Lord sent him there anyway. So we weren't expected there. So there were only a few men there, but we preached the gospel this one last time. And there were 17 men saved. And then there were 17 years old and under. I can't believe it. 13 years old. There were remandees in the prison there. I think there was 25 of them. And so what in the world? What in the world? Here you are in prison already. And I preached the gospel to them, and 11 of them came to Christ. So, that's it. I'm sorry I went over. I did go over. I'm really sorry. I didn't. I prayed, said, Lord, don't let me do it. But I did it anyway, so sorry. I apologize to you for keeping you here longer than I should have, okay? So please forgive me. Next picture, a few pictures here. They're all over the place over there like dogs, you know. The cows walk around. They have control. The cars always stop for the cows and the goats. They have right away. These are like dogs. They're everywhere you go. Next picture. That's a daddy monkey. He's in front of the van looking at Samuel. He's looking at me in the front seat. He's right in front of the van. And he's saying, don't you dare touch my wife or my children. That's the look he's giving us. You're due with me if you do. Anyway, next picture. That's a woman monkey and a little baby monkey. So anyway... That's it. The Lord blessed. He blessed. And I had no. I said, what's going on, Lord? What's happening? But that was God. So this fall, God willing, you can remember me, please. And please pray. You pray for the prisoners that God will prepare their hearts. He knows where we're going. He knows where the men are. He knows where they're going to be. They must be prepared, as these men were prepared. We'll pray, Father. Father, we give thanks unto Thee for this time. Father, forgive me for going over, Father, and keeping your dear people. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Father. So, Father, may I have forgiveness from them. And, Father, bless Thy word. Encourage your people here. Father, encourage them. We see what you're doing. Father, to God be the glory. It's all Thee, Father. It's all Thee. So we thank you for that message of salvation. It's power. It's dynamite, Father. And you save many souls. We ask your blessing in each one. Bless your word to their heart as they read their Bibles and prepare the hearts of those this fall. And Father, we ask your blessing now as we part in that worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ. And I feel bad that I kept him. Sorry.